Psalm 84, I read to you, Psalm 84, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening hour that we can come before your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And we thank you that you are the Lord God who speaks to our hearts as we seek your face. O Lord, minister to us, we pray. By your Spirit, through your word, speak to us, Lord. Transform us from within, we ask. And write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Speak, Lord, for we desire to hear your voice and not the voice of man. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 84 and verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now this phrase, appears before God in Zion, here in verse 7 of this psalm, that suggests that this psalm was written by a Jewish man who could not go to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three annual feasts. In verses 1 and 2 of the same psalm we read, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. So this man, he was not able to go to Jerusalem to celebrate one of those three annual feasts. And this was God's command that they should go. Exodus chapter 23 verse 17. Three times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. The three feasts were the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 16 we read, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now, for 40 years after their exodus from Egypt, the Jews were a wandering people. But even after they moved into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, the three feasts reminded them that they were still pilgrims here on this earth. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 15 we read, for we are strangers before you and sojourners as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow and there is no abiding. we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are also strangers, we are sojourners. In the first epistle of Peter, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. A vagabond has no home. A fugitive is running from home. A stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim, he is heading home. And we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims on earth. Our home is in heaven. Jesus said in John 14 verse 2, we read, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? The inability of the psalmist to attend the feast, that did not rob him of the blessings of fellowship with the Lord. All who are true pilgrims, we as believers in Christ, we said we are pilgrims on this earth, and all those who are true pilgrims can make the same affirmation that the psalmist made. He made three affirmations. First, he says, my delight is in the Lord, in verses 1 to 4. That's his first affirmation. Psalm 84 verses 1 to 4, I read to you from the New Living Translation. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. In his opening statement, the psalmist is saying two things. He says, the temple is beautiful, and the temple is beloved by all who love the Lord. The temple is beautiful. The temple is beloved by all who love the Lord. It was the dwelling place of the Lord on earth, his house. The temple was the dwelling place of the Lord, his house on earth. Psalm 84 verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Psalm 84 verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now this was the place where his glory dwelt, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. In Psalm 26 verse 8, O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. This was in the Old Testament times. The glory of the Lord was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Now, God doesn't live today in man-made buildings. Acts chapter 7 verses 47 to 50. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? So God doesn't live today in man-made buildings. We can worship God anytime and anywhere because we know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. But special places are needed, and they are important in structuring our worship experience. Those places are important. The most important thing is that we have a heart that is devoted to the Lord. A heart that has a spiritual appetite. A heart that cries out for nourishing fellowship with the Lord. In Psalm 42 verses 1 to 4 we read, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 we read, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So the psalmist cried out for God with his entire being. And he envied the birds that were permitted to nest in the temple courts near the altar, as well as the priests and the Levites who lived and worked in the sacred boundaries of the temple. Psalm 84 verses 3 and 4, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Yes, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of worshiping the true and the living God. But we must not take this privilege for granted. Never forget that that privilege was purchased for us by the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. It is because Jesus shed his blood on the cross that we have access, direct access to the very throne room of God, and we can worship him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 we read, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Then we see the second affirmation that the psalmist is making. He says, my strength is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. I delight in the Lord. Then he says, my strength is in the Lord. Verses 5 to 8. Psalm 84 verses 5 to 8. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, listen to me, God of Jacob. Though this man had to remain at home, his heart was set on pilgrimage, and the very map to Jerusalem was written on his heart. His love for God and his house helped him make right decisions in life so that he did not go astray. Now, a geographical site named the Valley of Baca, has not been identified as such. But this word Baca in Hebrew, it means balsam tree. Balsam tree. Now, the sap of this balsam tree, it oozes out like tears. The sap of this tree oozes out like tears. So the Valley of Baca means, it is actually a name. The Valley of Baca is a name for any difficult and painful experience that you're going through in life, where everything seems hopeless and you feel helpless, like the pit of despair. Now the people who love God expect to pass through this valley, the Valley of Baca, but we don't remain there. We get a blessing from that experience, and we not only get a blessing, we also leave a blessing behind. Let's look at Abraham and Isaac when they actually went through difficult experiences. What did they do? They dig a well. Genesis chapter 21 verses 22 to 34. It's a long passage, but I'll read it to you. Genesis 21, 22 to 34. About this time, Abimelech came with Phicol, his army commander, to visit Abraham. God is obviously with you, helping you in everything you do, Abimelech said. Swear to me in God's name that you will never deceive me, my children, or any of my descendants. I have been loyal to you, so now swear that you will be loyal to me and to this country where you are living as a foreigner. Abraham replied, yes, I swear to it. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well that Abimelech's servants had taken by force from Abraham's servants. This is the first I have heard of it, Abimelech answered. I have no idea who is responsible. You have never complained about this before. Abraham then gave some of his sheep, goats, and cattle to Abimelech, and they made a treaty. But Abraham also took 7 additional female lambs and set them off by themselves. Abimelech asked, "Why have you set these 7 apart from the others?" Abraham replied, "Please accept these 7 lambs to show your agreement that I dug this well." Then he named the place Beersheba, which means well of the oath, because that was where they had sworn the oath. After making their covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech left with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned home to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he worshipped the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham lived as a foreigner in Philistine country for a long time. He goes through difficult experiences, but he leaves behind a blessing. Isaac, Abraham's son, he too goes through difficult times. The valley of Baca, he also went through. But he did the same as his father Abraham. He left behind wells of water. His life was such a blessing to others. In Genesis 26, verses 17 to 33. Again, a long passage I read to you. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. "This is our water," they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitna, which means hostility. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, "At last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land." From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. "I am the God of your father Abraham," he said. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham my servant." Then Isaac built an altar there and worshipped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place and his servants dug another well. One day, King Abimelech came from Gerar with his advisor Ahuzath and also Phicol, his army commander. "Why have you come here?" Isaac asked. You obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land." They replied, "We can plainly see that the Lord is with you, so we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we have never troubled you. We have always treated you well, and we sent you away from us in peace. And now look how the Lord has blessed you." So Isaac prepared a covenant feast to celebrate the treaty, and they ate and drank together. Early the next morning, they each took a solemn oath not to interfere with each other. Then Isaac sent them home again, and they left him in peace. That very day, Isaac's servants came and told him about a new well they had dug. "We have found water," they exclaimed. So Isaac named the well Sheba, which means oath. And to this day, the town that grew up there is called Beersheba, which means well of the oath. God's people, we, his children, we do go through times of affliction, times of persecution, But what do? We leave behind wells of blessing. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Like Samuel and Elijah, God's people pray down the rain. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18. So Samuel called upon the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. You see, when we go through times of affliction, times of persecution, when people are against us, what happens? We walk close to the heart of God and we listen to Him, we obey Him. What happens as a result? We leave behind wells of blessing. Also read 1 Kings chapter 18. There also you find Elijah prayed down the rain. It's wonderful to receive a blessing, but it's even greater to be a blessing and to transform a desert into a garden. And that's what we're called to do. True pilgrims will go from strength to strength. Psalm 84 verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 25 we read, the bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. And your strength will equal your days. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, I can do all things through him, that is through Christ, who strengthens me. So we trust God to enable us to walk one step at a time, one moment at a time, and we work a day at a time. We walk with God and we work with God a day at a time. As believers in Christ and pilgrims on this earth, we must be people of prayer. People who are in close communion with the Lord, no matter what our circumstances may be. Psalm 84 verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Then the psalmist gives us the third affirmation. He speaks about his trust. My trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. Psalm 84 verses 9 to 12. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. In verse 8, the psalmist is pleading, hear my prayer. Psalm 84 verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. From pleading, hear my prayer in verse 8, he goes on to lift his petitions to the Lord, beginning with a prayer for the king. Psalm 84 verse 9, behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. So he's praying for the king. A shield is a symbol of the Lord himself. Psalm 3 verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Genesis 15 verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Now the shield is also the symbol of Israel's anointed king. Psalm 89 verse 18. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our king, to the Holy One of Israel. But why did the psalmist pray for the king? Because the future of the promise of the Messiah rested with the line of King David. And God had spoken through the prophet Nathan to David, In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 16 and 17, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. So the Messiah comes through the line of David. And the psalmist wanted the Messiah to come. Believers today, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should also pray faithfully for those who are in authority. Because this is good. It is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, our Messiah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So when you walk by faith, you put the Lord and His will first in your life, and you keep your priorities right. You keep your priorities straight. Psalm 84 verse 10. "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Now this verse 10 in Psalm 84, is the Old Testament version of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 and Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, according to the inscription in this Psalm 84 is associated with the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were Levites who were assigned to guard the threshold of the sanctuary. Psalm 84 verse 1, "To the choir master according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." In 1 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 19 we read, "Shallum, the son of Koh, son of Ebiasaph, son of Korah, and his kinsmen of his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, keepers of the threshold of the tent, as their fathers had been in charge of the camp of the Lord, keepers of the entrance." Now the job of the sons of Korah was an important and very honorable office. Their ancestor Korah, he had actually rebelled against God and Moses. He had rebelled against God and Moses, and he was slain by the Lord. And we read of this in Numbers chapter 16. Now note the phrase here, tents of wickedness, in Psalm 84 verse 10. Also in Numbers chapter 16 verse 26. Numbers 16 verses 23 to 26 I read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, say to the congregation, get away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." In Psalm 84 verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." So you see there, that phrase, the tents of wickedness. So Korah, he had rebelled against God and Moses, and he was slain by the Lord. But Korah's children, they were not killed because of their father's sins. Numbers 26 verses 9 to 11. "The sons of Eliab, Nemuel, Dathan and Abiram, these are the Dathan and Abiram chosen from the congregation who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men and they became a warning. But the sons of Korah did not die." So the sons of Korah continued to serve at the sanctuary. And this psalmist, one of the sons of Korah, he didn't aspire to a high office. In verse 10, it says, Psalm 84 verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He desired nothing but to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, to sit at the threshold of the temple, just to be close to the Lord. To men and women of faith, the Lord is all that they need. Because he is to them what the sun is to our universe, the source of light, the source of life. Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Isaiah chapter 60 verses 19 and 20. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Now, without the sun, life would vanish from the earth. And without God, we would have neither physical life nor spiritual life. We live and we move and we have our being because of him. Acts of the Apostles chapter 17, verses 24 to 28. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. In John chapter 1 verses 1 to 5 we read, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So God is our provision. God is our protection. Psalm 84 verses 8 and 9. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. And verse 11, Psalm 84, For the Lord God is our sun and our shield, he gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. So he is a giving God. He gives grace, he gives glory. Grace he gives for the journey and glory at the end of the journey. So we have grace throughout our pilgrimage on earth. And at the end, we have glory when we see him face to face. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, all we need to do is walk by faith. If we walk by faith, then whatever begins with grace will ultimately end with glory. God does not give us everything we want, but he bestows upon us all that is good for us. He gives us all that we need to fulfill his will in and through our lives. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 3, 1 to 3, Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Yes, times of solitude, times of spiritual retreat, they are very beneficial to us believers. They benefit us spiritually. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, we have constant open access into the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross. And He is constantly interceding for us in heaven. And He dwells in us by His Spirit. We have the communion of the Holy Spirit. We can commune with the Spirit. We can commune with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. Therefore, He is able once and forever to save those who come to God through Him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now the question is, do we really delight in the Lord, and are we really seeking Him? Do we depend on His strength? Do we walk and work by faith? Are we among those who walk uprightly, as it says in Psalm 84 verse 11? Psalm 84 verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now this Jewish man who wrote this psalm, one of the sons of Korah, he wanted to go to Jerusalem for a feast, but he could not. Now we don't know why. Maybe he was not well, he was sick. He had some serious problem at home. Maybe. Therefore, he could not go. But he longed to go to God's house to worship God along with his fellow believers. Now, a person who has been saved, a person who is truly born again, he will have a strong desire to worship God and fellowship with God's people. Such a person will long to attend God's house and worship Him along with God's people. Do you desire to worship God in such a manner? Do you desire to be with God's people in God's house? Or are you happy for an excuse to stay home from God's house? At the time the psalm was written, every Jewish man was required to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast 3 times a year. In fact, whole villages would make their pilgrimage together. Psalm 84 verses 5 to 7. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And as they traveled to Jerusalem, the men looked in 3 different directions. One, they looked within. Psalm 84 verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Everyone has a roadmap in his or her heart. And that roadmap takes him or her where they want to go. So ask yourself, what kind of roadmap do I have? Where does it lead? Have you limited yourself, or are you entering into all the fullness of walking with the Lord? Fellowship with God. Friendship with Him. Number 2. They looked back. Psalm 84 verse 6. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. So they pass through a valley. Baca, meaning weeping. As they pass through Baca, they left behind a blessing for somebody else. Sometimes in our pilgrimage of life, we go through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. And when you go through Baca, do you leave behind a blessing for somebody else? Or do you expect others to give you a blessing? Number three, they looked ahead. Psalm 84 verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. So they were looking forward to meeting with the living God as they went to celebrate the feast. We too, we go from strength to strength as we walk with the Lord. You might be looking at your present situation in life and you might be saying, I'll never make it. But the fact is, you will make it. Because God is the one who gives you the strength to keep going as you make your pilgrimage. You too look in three directions in your pilgrimage. It is often a difficult pilgrimage, a difficult journey. But God will give you the strength to continue and progress. If you're born again, in your heart, you have a roadmap to Zion. Follow it, and one day you will meet the living God face to face. Let's look to the Lord in prayer.